Hare Krishna. So, yesterday we discussed the beginning of this pastime. Sudama, wonderful devotee, friend of Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami describes some of his transcendental qualities, his qualities as a Brahman, self-satisfied, sense-controlled, depending upon Krishna, on the Supreme Lord for his maintenance. And he was poverty-stricken, satisfied simply by acquiring transcendental knowledge. So his wife approaches Sudama because she sees that he is in a very difficult situation. And it is even more difficult for her to tolerate Sudama's condition. So Shukadeva Goswami describes now what inspired Sudama's wife to recommend that he should go to meet Krishna. Pativrata patim praha mlayata vadanenava daridram sidamana vai vepamana abhigamyacha. So the first quality of Sudama's wife was that she was pativrata. And pativrata means she was chaste, she was loyal, and she was concerned with Sudama's welfare. And she could see that they do not have sufficient to eat, and Sudama is suffering because of this. So pativrata. So throughout this pastime, Shukadeva Goswami is emphasizing this point that both Sudama and his wife were selfless. So what inspires Sudama's wife to recommend to Sudama is not something for her own benefit, but she is concerned with Sudama, her husband. So this is the first quality, pativrata. And then, mlayata vadanena va. And she could see that he is suffering. Daridram sidamana vai vepamana abhigamyata. So because of poverty, Sudama was suffering. And seeing this, Sudama's wife went through two kinds of reaction. Sidamana and vepamana abhigamya. So what is the meaning of sidamana? So sidamana means she was miserable. She was miserable seeing Sudama's condition. But along with this misery, there was also great fear in her heart. And what was the cause of this fear? She knew that Sudama is a great devotee of Krishna. Sudama loves Krishna and does not have any expectations of fulfillment of material desires from Krishna. And therefore she was fearful that if I recommend to my husband that, my dear husband, you should go to Krishna and beg from him, he may become angry with me. And therefore this fear was there in her heart. So daridram sidamana vai vepamana bhigamya cha. So there was simultaneously distress and fear in her heart. But still she felt it is her duty to recommend to Krishna, to recommend to Sudama that he must approach Krishna. And so, keeping this in her mind, her husband's welfare in her mind, she speaks the following words. And vepamana bhigamya refers to the fact that she knew that Sudama will not like that she is recommending go to Krishna and approach him for these kind of benefits. Therefore she has to think very deeply about how she is going to present this argument to Krishna, knowing very well that Krishna is not going to accept, Sudama is not going to accept it, and Sudama may even speak some objections against her recommendation. And therefore she gives great thought to this, and then after thinking deeply, she presents the proposal to Sudama. And she says, Nanu Brahman Bhagavata Sakha Sakshat Shriya Pati Brahmanyascha Sharanyascha Bhagavan Satvata Rishabha. Jai Shri Srinada Gokulananda Ji Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki. So she says, my dear husband, Nanu Brahman Bhagavata. O great Brahman, you must approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Sudama may object that why should I approach him? What is the reason for me to approach him? What is my relationship with him? So she says, Sakha Sakshat, you are his friend. Krishna and you are close friends. And therefore it is the duty of a friend to help some other friend when he is in distress. So naturally Sudama may think that, okay, Krishna is my friend, but how can he help me? And why should I approach him in this state? So she says, because you are in poverty and Krishna is Sakha Sakshat Shriyapati. So Shriyapati means Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. Anyone who comes in contact with Krishna cannot experience misfortune. And we are going through this period of misfortune, and therefore it is our duty to approach Krishna. He can give us unlimited fortune. Shriyapati. So Sudama says, Sudama may object, saying, he is Shriyapati, husband of goddess of fortune. And I am simply a poverty-stricken, lowly Brahmin. I am a poor wretch. And he is husband of goddess of fortune. So where is the comparison? Why would anyone so rich and opulent want to reciprocate with someone so poor? And therefore there is absolutely no chance that this relationship will work. He may be Shriyapati, but still it is very difficult for me to approach him in this poverty-stricken condition. So she says, Brahmanyascha, but you are Brahman. And Krishna may be Shriyapati, but he is always very favorably disposed to the Brahmanas, because he is Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Therefore, because you are a Brahman, even if you are poverty stricken, Krishna will reciprocate. Brahmanyascha. So then, Sudama may object, saying that, I am simply going through the various reactions of my own karma. I may be a Brahman, that is fine, but this poverty is simply a reaction of my previous karmic activities, and as a Brahman, I am supposed to go through this situation. So why should Krishna in any way provide any kind of special benediction to me? So she says, Krishna is also Sharanyascha. That anyone who takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna eradicates the reaction of all of his previous karmic activities. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. And then such a person will be freed from the influence of any misery which may come in his life because of his previous activities. Therefore, whatever may be the case, you just take shelter of Krishna, and anyone takes shelter of Krishna is fully protected. And as we have discussed in the series of lectures on Ramayana, While giving shelter to Vibhishan, Lord Ramachandra, he declares, Sakrit eva prapanno yastava asmi, iti ache abhayam sarvadatasmai, dadami etad vratam mama. When Sugriva is objecting to Lord Ram, you cannot give shelter to Vibhishan, because he is the brother of our enemy Ravan. And anyone who can give up his own brother at the time of calamity can go to any extent to harm us. He is a very dangerous element. You should not give him shelter. So Lord Ram considers this situation and says, My dear Sugriva, Sakrit eva, even if once someone approaches me, folds his hands and comes in front of me and says, even casually, even jokingly, Tava asmi, O Krishna, my dear Lord Ram, I am yours. Even if he says casually and does not mean from the core of his heart, but from my side, I take his proposal very seriously. Abhayam sarvada tasmai, such a devotee should remain fearless for all time to come. Dadami etad vratam mama, and this is my vrata. This is my vow. I am taking this vow that any devotee approaches me, comes in front of the deities, folds his hand and says, My dear Shishirada Gokulananda, O Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji, I am yours. Even if that is spoken casually, Lord Ram is saying, I give a vow. He should remain fearless. So this is known as the mantra for accepting shelter of the Lord. Sharanyascha. And this vow is taken by Lord Ram. Many times people say, we have difficulty putting faith in Krishna, because Krishna keeps changing his word so many times. And Krishna acts in so many ways. You know, Krishna stands teda and his activities are also teda. Not straightforward. But Ram is very straightforward. And therefore, this vow is here taken by Lord Ram. And the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas give elaborate purports on how this is such a very important verse, expressing the Lord is always eager to offer shelter to a devotee in any condition, in any situation. So therefore, this word is being used by Sudama's wife. Sharanyascha, that the Supreme Lord offers sharan, shelter. And therefore, ultimately, the soul has to take shelter somewhere. So if he doesn't take shelter of Krishna, he takes shelter of his mind and senses. And in due course of time, everything is taken away by the Supreme Lord by the imperceptible time factor. And if one does not bow down in front of the Lord, he will ultimately have to bow down on the funeral pyre. So Prabhupada gives this argument that Prabhupada was talking to one reporter or some atheist kind of a person. And he was saying that why should we bow down to God, Swamiji? There is no need to bow down to anyone. I do not bow down in front of anyone. Prabhupada said, when you go to a barber, you sit and bow down your head. So don't say you don't bow down to anyone. So ultimately, we have to bow down to someone or another, but try to understand why we should bow down in front of the Supreme Lord and take His shelter. So that is known as Sharanya, because only He can provide ultimate freedom from all suffering and engage us in His service. Tasya tasya janonunam nayam vedoru vikramam kalyamano pibalino vayor iva ghanavali. So Bhagavatam says that every conditioned soul is aspiring to become rich, strong, powerful, more influential. And all of us are struggling in our life to acquire more and more security. But then, the condition of the jiva in the material world is very fragile, just like a cloud. Vayor iva ghanavali. So a cloud may appear to be huge. There may be small clouds, there may be big clouds, but the cloud is a cloud. And therefore, even if that small cloud ultimately joins some other clouds and becomes a big cloud, as soon as there is influence of wind, vayor iva ghanavali, as soon as a gust of wind blows, that cloud is blown away. It is finished. It is thrown into oblivion. And you cannot even see that cloud. Similarly, material conditioned life is nothing but trying to increase one's status and position and power. Small cloud trying to become big cloud, various clouds competing with each other. But in due course of time, the imperceptible time factor attacks, and then there is death and destruction. Therefore, only Krishna, and taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, can provide supreme protection. Material conditioned life is just trying to build a huge magnificent house. But when there is an earthquake, the bigger and more powerful house we make, the faster we will crush and die. Therefore, the only person worth taking shelter is Krishna. And when one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, one is fully protected. So that is the meaning of Sharanyas. So Sudama's wife is saying, he is not only favorably disposed to Brahmanas, but he provides shelter to all the souls. And then he says, he is fully opulent because he is Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, full of all opulences. And then she says, that even if Bhagavan may sometimes not notice, but since you are going there, and there are so many wonderful devotees in Dwarka, Krishna is also known as Satvata Rishabha, the leader of all the Satvatas, the leader of all the devotees. So the devotees may notice you, and there are so many wonderful devotees in Dwarka, and because these devotees at Dwarka are closely associated with Krishna, they also share the opulences of Krishna. So even if some of these devotees take out some of their jewels and ornaments and give you, that is sufficient. So therefore, it is very important for you to go to Dwarka immediately. So at this stage, Sudama may say that what is the guarantee that Krishna is there in Dwarka or not? Because Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he may be traveling to so many places. So if Krishna is traveling and he is not in Dwarka, what can I do? What is the use of traveling all the way there? So she says, Aste adhuna dwarakatyam bhojavrishni andhakeshwara. So now Krishna has stopped all of his fighting business, killing the demon's Leela, and he is just staying at Dwarka. He is retired. He is retired from all of his regular business because his mission on this planet is more or less complete. Now, as far as his other part of the mission is concerned, he is now focusing only on pleasing his devotees. And therefore, he is at Dwarka, surrounded by his intimate associates. Bhoja Vrishni Andhakeshwara. And all of these devotees are there. So all you have to do is simply go there. And if you are feeling embarrassed that how will I express this desire to Krishna because I have never expressed anything for my own sake to Krishna, do not worry about it. If you cannot express these things to Krishna, just stand there and think about Krishna, meditate upon his lotus feet. Because Krishna has so much of power, Smarata Pada Kamalam Atmanam Apiyachati. Anyone who simply thinks of Krishna, remembers Krishna. Simply by the power of remembrance of Krishna, Krishna gives himself completely. Therefore, you do not even have to go and speak anything. Just go there and stand and remember. Think of the Lord in the mind, and as soon as you think of Him, Krishna will reciprocate. We have the Jagannath Rath Yatra coming up in another 10 days. And there is this beautiful story of Maharaj Purushottam Dev, the father of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And Purushottam Dev, he was so powerful that he attacked the kingdom of Kanchi. And it is described that simply by the power of his military strength, he destroyed the entire army of Kanchipuram. But here, the king of Kanchi wanted to have peace, so he approached Purushottam Dev and said that, "I give my daughter in marriage to you. Let there be truce, let there be peace." So Maharaj Purushottam Dev agreed and said, "Okay, I will accept your daughter as my wife, but right now I have to go back because Rath Yatra is coming up and I have to make arrangements. And the marriage will be held only after the Rath Yatra." So he came back to Jagannath Puri. And at this stage, he also invited the daughter of the king, his would-be wife, and some other people from the kingdom to visit Jagannath Puri to witness the Rath Yatra. So Maharaj Purushottam Dev was preparing for the Rath Yatra, and on the day of Rath Yatra, his would-be wife, the princess of Kanchi, she came. And also one of the ministers of Kanchipuram, whose name was Selva Narsingha, he also came. And right in front of Jagannath deities, as is the tradition, Maharaj Purushottam Dev took the wonderful broom, and then the king sweeps the floor in front of Lord Jagannath, traditionally. And this ceremony is known as Chehara Pahana. And he took the broom and he began sweeping the floor in front of Lord Jagannath to express how he is a humble servant of the Lord. And as soon as Selva Narsingha, the minister of Kanchi, he saw this, he immediately got agitated. And he told the princess, "We have to get out of this place. Here is the king and he has become a sweeper, and it is not possible for you to marry a sweeper." And he went back and reported to the king of Kanchi that this match will not work because this king also does all kinds of other menial things like sweeping the floor. And therefore we should not marry our princess to a Shudra. And so the king of Kanchi also got influenced. He sent a message saying, "We are cancelling the marriage." And Maharaj Purushottam Dev, when he heard the reason for cancelling of the marriage, he got so angry, he just took his whole army and attacked again. But this time, somehow, by Lord Jagannath's inconceivable arrangement, Purushottam Dev lost the battle, and his entire army was routed. And he came back, flabbergasted, and thinking, "My dear Lord, last time I attacked was for my sake, and I won. And this time I attacked to somehow protect your dignity and I lost. What is going on?" And he was thinking like that and he was returning back. And there was a hut of a very powerful rishi right on the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. So Purushottam Dev Maharaj entered his hut and he said, "I am very much disturbed." And he said, "Why?" "Because I lost." So this great sage said that you went on behalf of Lord Jagannath, but did you take blessings of Lord Jagannath? And were you thinking of Lord Jagannath in your mind when you were attacking, or is it because of some false ego? And he said, "Yes, actually I was so agitated that I forgot to take blessings of Lord Jagannath, and I was not really conscious of Lord Jagannath when I was fighting." So the sage said, "That was your mistake. The Lord is not concerned with anything else, but He is simply concerned how a devotee holds Him within the core of his heart. So immediately go to the temple and pray to Lord Jagannath. And then with His blessings, all of your desires will be fulfilled." So Maharaj Purushottam Dev immediately went to the temple of Lord Jagannath. It was night. Time for the Lord to rest. But because it was the king, the pujaris agreed to allow him. and he entered into the inner sanctum, sat in front of Lord Jagannath Ji, with his eyes closed, started praying to the Lord, "O Jagannath, why did this happen to me? I was simply trying to fight on your behalf. So please reveal to me any way by which I can take revenge for this insult which has been done towards you. Maharaj of Kanchi has insulted you, and I want to protect somehow your name and your dignity." And Lord Jagannath spoke up that, "My dear King Purushottam Dev, because you have approached me, taken my shelter, and now you are absorbed in thinking about me, I am pleased with you. And I hereby promise that go and fight against this king of Kanchipuram. Myself, that is Jagannath, and my brother Baldev will personally fight this battle and protect you." So as soon as Maharaj Purushottam Dev heard this, he was excited that Jagannath and Baldev will personally manifest. And that's what here Sudama's wife is saying. Smarata pada kamalam atmanam api yachati. So the point is, Krishna is so merciful that if someone remembers his lotus feet, he gives himself up completely, personally. Atmanam api yachati. And as soon as Purushottam Dev Maharaj heard this, he was excited. And then he came out and he declared to the whole kingdom that since all of our army has been destroyed, we need new recruits for our army. And we are going to fight against this king of Kanchi because he insulted Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath has just revealed to me that Jagannath ji and Baldev ji will personally also join this battle. And as soon as the residents of Puri heard this, hundreds and thousands of residents wanted to join this army because they wanted to see Jagannath and Baldev in action. They had heard Jagannath and Baldev were going to fight. So small children, old men, women, everyone came saying, "We want to join the army." And finally Maharaj Purushottam Dev had an army with hardly a dozen people who could properly fight. And remaining will only residents of Jagannath Puri, who were just eager to take darshan of Jagannath and Baldev. But Maharaj Purushottam Dev said, "Because Lord Jagannath has given this promise, so we should go ahead." And so along with this assorted army, he just went ahead, proceeded towards south. And then as this army was proceeding, at a certain distance, there was one old lady who was selling buttermilk. And this old lady saw on horse two warriors coming by. One was blackish complexion, other was whitish in complexion. And both of them stopped and had the buttermilk. And she said, "Now you have to make the payment." And this gentleman who was black complexion, he said, "I am the soldier on behalf of Maharaj Purushottam Dev, and they are coming from behind and they will make the payment." And he took out a ring and gave it to this lady and said, "In case they argue, just show this ring and everything will be taken care." And both of them went ahead. Maharaj Purushottam Dev with his army came from behind and this lady stopped, "Hey, come on, wait here. Your soldiers came ahead and they already drank the buttermilk and they have not yet made the payment." And Purushottam Dev said, "I am the king. I am leading the army. All my soldiers are behind me. How can any soldier go ahead of me?" So he said, "But I saw there was these two soldiers, one was blackish complexion, one was whitish in complexion, and see this," and showed the ring. And this ring was the ring of Lord Jagannath personally. And as soon as Maharaj Purushottam Dev saw this ring, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy. And he got the confidence that yes, Lord Jagannath is in action. And therefore there is no danger, there is no risk in taking this whole army, because Lord Jagannath will take care. And by the time they reached the kingdom of Kanchi, Jagannath and Baldev had personally destroyed the entire army of Maharaj of Kanchipuram. And all Purushottam Dev had to do was again go to this king and brought this daughter of the king back and said, I am going to take her, but this time I am not going to marry her. She is simply going to become a servant in the kingdom. And in this way, he brought the princess back to Jagannath Puri. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maiya ki. And after she was brought back, Maharaj Purushottam Dev declared that because last time you committed offense to the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, so the punishment for that is, since you are too much against my sweeping, now we will make sure that we will marry you off to a good sweeper. That will serve your father and your that minister right, because they were thinking that sweeping for Lord Jagannath is not good. And therefore, let us start searching for a good sweeper to get married to you. And then she was kept in a palace, and then time passed by, and by the time it was, you know, the period for Jagannath Rath Yatra again. And the next Rath Yatra came, and again King Purushottam Dev took this broom in his hand and he began sweeping the cart in front of Lord Jagannath. And his minister, he stood up and declared, "My dear king, I have found the perfect sweeper for this princess." And said, "Who is that?" "And that is you. Because you are the perfect sweeper, sweeping on behalf of Lord, let us get you married to this princess and the Lord will also be pleased." And then finally, both of them got married, and the son of Maharaj Purushottam Dev, who was born as a result of this marriage, is the great king Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his special mercy on Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And all these kings of Jagannath Puri, they were completely absorbed in their service, considering that this entire kingdom belongs to Lord Jagannath, and we are simply servants on behalf of the Lord. So here, the principle of thinking about the Lord, offering one's entire life energy to the Lord, and how the Lord reciprocates with such a devotee, this is what Sudama's wife is saying, that the Lord is so powerful, he can immediately understand a devotee's desire. Therefore, all you have to do is place the Lord's lotus feet in the core of your heart and think of the Lord and pray to the Lord, "My dear Lord, please accept me." And immediately the Lord reciprocates. And therefore, you do not have to go and express anything to Krishna. Krishna is the Lord in the heart. He is all powerful. He will immediately understand. Just go and stand there in front of Krishna, and he will just fulfill all your desires. So as soon as Sudama hears this, he thinks, "Sa evam bharyaya vipro bahusha prarthito muhu ayam hi paramo labho uttama shloka darshanam." So he thinks that because my wife is repeatedly praying to me like this, bahusha prarthito muhu, again and again she is saying that I must go. So okay, from my point of view, what is my motive? Paramo labho, the supremest fortune, the supremest benediction is uttama shloka darshanam. If I can simply have darshan, if I can simply see Krishna, that is the greatest labha. So therefore, labha means profit or benefit. And the greatest profit for a soul is coming in contact with Krishna, somehow or the other. Paramo labho, the supreme most benefit and fortune which the soul is looking for and hankering for through millions of lives is this contact with Krishna. And therefore, preaching means somehow giving an opportunity to condition souls to come in contact with Krishna and have this supreme most labha or benefit. So Prabhupada says that the soul has come in contact with Krishna after millions of life. First of all, we should become aware of our own good fortune. So Krishna consciousness is the topmost wealth, the topmost benefit and profit which anyone can get. So all of us are struggling hard to get some labha, to get some benefit. But we are not aware that as soon as we have come in contact with devotees, started chanting Hare Krishna, seeing the darshan of the Lord, hearing katha, getting a chance to serve devotees, this is the greatest labha. This is the greatest fortune. And only when we realize this, that yes, this is a precious jewel which I have, then the first thing you do when you have a precious jewel is you try to hold it very close to your chest and try to protect it. So this faith in Krishna which has been awakened is the most precious jewel, and we have to protect it very carefully so that it is not stolen away. And the second thing which can be done is whatever benefit we have received, we can try to distribute it to others. So we have to protect it and also give it to others. And these are the two things which we will do if we come in contact with a treasure. We would want to share that treasure. So someone was telling Srila Prabhupada that we are trying to distribute this process, we are trying to distribute Krishna to others, but people are not interested. And many times we see this, that if this is the supremest labha, supremest benefit, why others are not taking it? We are trying to give it to others, but they are saying, no, we are okay. We are happy with this. You try to tell someone, read the Gita, try to chant Hare Krishna, and they say, no, you are doing this Hare Krishna, that's very good. You continue doing it. But don't tell us what we should do. And therefore, how do we explain that majority of the people are not interested in following this process? So Prabhupada says that you need a certain level of piety to be able to appreciate this process of Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada gives the example, if you go to a jeweler shop, there will not be too many people. In jeweler shop, the crowd will be too less. Just few people will be there. But if you go to the vegetable market, especially in India, the kind of vegetable markets are, you will find hundreds and thousands of people. And everyone is trying to bargain, and there is so much of noise. And if someone selling gold starts thinking that my gold shop, hardly anyone is coming, let me try to sell this gold in the vegetable market, because the crowd is more. So he comes to the vegetable market, and then he's trying to tell people, here I have 24 karat gold, buy it. And the fellow who's come to buy vegetables, what can he understand of 24 karat gold? He says, I don't have money to buy 24 carats in the vegetable market. What to speak of gold? It's not possible. So seeing that, will the person selling gold feel discouraged and say, okay, let me give up this gold. Let me also selling potatoes only. No. He will actually try to see who is the customer who can afford this. So sometimes devotees feel, nobody is taking this. Not many people are interested. So maybe I am on the wrong track. Maybe I am in the wrong market. Maybe I should only go back to vegetables. No. This is the paramo labha, the supreme most benediction, the supreme most jewel and ratna which has been given. And one cannot hope to have something better than this. Therefore here, uttama shloka darshanam, the darshan of the Supreme Lord, that means coming in contact with Krishna, is considered to be the supreme most labha, the greatest benefit. We have the example that in Jagannath Puri, this is a true story, another story related to Lord Jagannath, there was this criminal who had been sentenced to death. And he had not committed a crime, but somehow he had been implicated in this case, and he had been sentenced to death, and he was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And so the time for his death sentence was fast approaching, and within a few months he was to be hanged. So he just wrote a letter to Lord Jagannath. And he said, "My dear Lord, that I do not mind dying, but my only regret is that now I will not be able to have your darshan anymore. And thus, I just wanted to express my gratitude for whatever I have received. And although I have not committed this crime, still somehow I am going to be hanged because of this. I do not mind this at all. But my regret is, I will not be able to participate in any of your festivals, not have your darshan, and this is my regret." And then he just, on top, wrote that to Jagannath, Sri Sri Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra, Jagannath Puri Temple, Jagannath Puri. And then he just posted it. And Lord Jagannath's arrangement was such, this was the only address he had written. So there was a district magistrate in Jagannath Puri. And this district magistrate, he was just winding up his day's activities. So he just finished his day's activities and he could not, you know, finish all the work he had to do. There was some still correspondence left. But because he was in a hurry going to a function, he just left his office and went out. As his vehicle moved out of that office and he went some distance, suddenly a thought from within came that I must return back to the office. There is some pending work I have not completed. And somehow this thought came, and then he stopped the car, told the driver, "Turn back." And the driver took the car back. And he reached his office. He went to his table and started going through the letters. And miraculously, this letter, which was addressed to Lord Jagannath, was there on his desk. How that letter came there, no one knows. He just read that letter. And in that letter, he read this sentence, that although I have not committed this crime, but I have been implicated, but please, I have no regrets for this. My only regret is I cannot take your darshan. And somehow this sentence struck him. He saw the name of the prisoner, went back to the files, and started studying the case deeply. And then he interviewed a few more witnesses and came to the conclusion that this man has actually been falsely implicated. And then they restarted the case, and then this man was ultimately released. And then when he was released, this man again wrote a letter to Jagannath, saying, "My dear Lord, thank you." And this letter again came to the magistrate. And the magistrate could understand, this is all Lord Jagannath's plan. That just because someone was remembering him, he took his case seriously and in this way gave his supreme most protection. In fact, in the year 1810, there is one of the great pujaris of Jagannath whose name is Pattajoshi Mahapatra. After putting the Lord to rest at night, he was coming out. And as he was coming out, he saw a huge, gigantic personality walking next to him. And he was wondering, who is this person? So powerful, so huge. And I can't even see his face, he's so huge. And he was just wonderstruck and he said, "Who are you? And what are you doing here?" And this man revealed, "I am Vibhishan, brother of Ravan. And I come here every night for darshan, for the Lord's darshan at night." And he said, "Come on, this is different yuga, this is Kali Yuga going on. How can you be Vibhishan? You're kidding." Said, "No, I am Vibhishan. If you want, I can give you a proof." And he took out his golden bracelet. And that golden bracelet had the signs which showed that he was Vibhishan. And the size of that golden bracelet is like the size of a bullock cart wheel. And then that bracelet is still kept at the house of this Mahapatra in Jagannath Puri as a proof that big, big demigods, great devotees from previous yugas, they also arrive here at Jagannath Puri just to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. The Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maiya Ki. So this darshan of the Lord is considered to be the greatest benediction. Ayam hi paramo labho uttama shloka darshanam. And therefore, anything or any way by which we can come in contact with Krishna should be considered to be a great fortune. Just like I told this story, that one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was having an altar and Prabhupada went there to his house and he saw that there was on the altar Gauranitai picture, Radha Krishna picture, and there was also a picture of one beautiful girl. And Prabhupada told him, "What is this? What picture is this?" He said, "Srila Prabhupada, you know, I was deeply attached to this girl and somehow things didn't work out and she ran away with someone else. And it affected me so much that I was disturbed and I started thinking what is life and what is the goal of life, and then I came in contact with devotee. So therefore I consider her one of my gurus. So I kept her photo." Prabhupada said, "That is fine that you are inspired, but there is no need to worship on the altar like this." And he said, "But actually, not only that, but also she's so beautiful and the eyes are so beautiful, I'm attracted by those eyes. And therefore I have kept on that altar." And Prabhupada said, "If you actually consider the beauty of this world, if you're attracted and enchanted by the beauty of this world, compared to the beauty of this world, the beauty of heavenly damsels is millions of times more. And compared to the beauty of the heavenly damsels, the beauty of Lakshmi Devis is millions of times more. And compared to the beauty of the Lakshmis, the Gopi's beauty is millions of times more. And therefore, if you actually have darshan of Radha and Krishna, there is no comparison of anything of this world, because that is the supreme most darshan. That darshan can satisfy all the life's desires. Therefore, the soul, after traveling through millions and millions of species, finally is getting a chance to satisfy all of his desires through all the senses in contact with Krishna. That is considered paramo labho, the supreme most fortune. And as soon as we understand this, we appreciate and we are grateful to all the devotees who have brought us to this moment, put us in contact with Krishna so that we can practice this process. So in this way, Sudama thinks that if I get a chance to come in contact with Krishna again, that is my paramo labha, uttama shloka darshanam. For this reason alone, it is worthwhile going to Dwaraka. But then he started thinking, if I have to go to Dwaraka, then I cannot go empty-handed and I must carry something with me. But because there is nothing at home, so his wife went and begged 4 palmfuls of chipped rice and brought it and gave it to Sudama. And Sudama took those 4 palmfuls of chipped rice, held it in a piece of cloth, and along with other brahmanas of Dwaraka, he went, other brahmanas proceeded towards Dwaraka. And they were blissfully thinking of Krishna, chanting his names. And as they went to Dwaraka, they passed through the various gates. And then finally Sudama came to that palace where Krishna was residing with Rukmini Devi. And this is known as Rukmini's palace. And Sudama stood there for some moments and then entered into that palace. And Krishna, the Supreme Lord, was right there within the palace. And as soon as Krishna saw Sudama entering, Krishna got up from his bed. Rukmini Devi was sitting right next to Krishna. Krishna got up from the bed in ecstasy and ran towards Sudama. He embraced Sudama, and as soon as he embraced him, he felt great transcendental ecstasy. And then immediately he brought Sudama by the hand and made him sit upon the same bed on which the goddess of fortune was sitting. And Krishna sat at the feet of Sudama and he just washed Sudama's lotus feet with his own hands. And then he took that Charanamrit and held it upon his own head, sprinkled it upon his head, and sprinkled it upon all the other residents. And it is described here, Agrahit Shirasaranyam Bhagavan Lokapavana. Krishna, who purifies all the three worlds, felt himself being purified, accepting the Charanamrit of Sudama. And this is the beauty of this pastime, that Krishna was reciprocating with his intimate devotee in such a transcendental way, which no one can even imagine within this material world. And so it is described, Vyalimpadivya Gandhena Aguru Chanda Kumkumaihi. So Krishna took various auspicious ingredients like Chandan, Kumkum, a guru, and anointed Sudama's transcendental body with his beautiful lotus-like hands. Krishna was personally worshipping Sudama, his devotee, and then he took his incense stick and offered this incense stick to Sudama. Then he took ghee lamp and offered a complete ghee lamp arati to Sudama. And in this way, Krishna was worshipping his devotee, Sudama, with love, with devotion, with great transcendental feeling. And just by seeing this, all the devotees, the intimate associates of Krishna who were residing within the palace of Dwarka, were struck with wonder to see the affection, the devotion which Krishna was displaying towards this apparently wretched looking, poverty stricken Brahman. And not only this, Krishna then took some betel nuts and offered it, and then had a cow and gave in charity to Sudama. And at this stage, Rukmini Devi, the goddess of fortune, she also engaged in the service of this great Brahman Sudama. Kuchailam malinam akshamam dvijam dhamani santatam Devi paryacharat sakshat Chamara Vyajanena Vai. Shukadeva Goswami is describing Kuchailam Malinam. He was dirty looking. Clothes were all torn. That was the condition of Sudama. The clothes were not good looking, very torn. And he was not very clean and healthy looking. He was very skinny. Dvijam Dhamani Santata means he was so skinny that all of his veins were visible. So therefore, not a very attractive looking person externally. And you could see he is so poverty stricken. And Devi, Paryacharat Sakshat, Rukmini Devi, she appeared on the scene. She took the chamar and she started offering chamar and peacock feather to Sudama. Chamara Vyajanena Vai. And as soon as this happened, all the residents of the palace, they started discussing amongst themselves. Because they were wondering, what is going on? Who is this person who is absolutely poverty stricken, looking like this, and he's entered into this most opulent palace of Dwarka, and Krishna is dealing with him like this? Antahpura janodrishtva krishnen amalakirtina Vismitobhut ati pritya avadhutam sabhajitam. So Bhagavatam is describing Antahpura jana, the residents of Dwarka, they started discussing amongst themselves Krishnen amala kirtina, that through this pastime Krishna's glories have spread in all the three worlds. Vismitobhut ati, they were so much astonished and struck with wonder. And they said, Avadhutam Sabhajitam, Krishna is personally worshipping this Brahman, personally taking care of this Brahman. Kim anena kritam punyam, what kind of punya, what kind of pious activity this Brahman must have performed, that Krishna himself is worshipping him. And therefore we can see, we can know, that unless one has acquired certain piety, it is not possible to come in contact with Krishna. What to speak of avadhutena sa bhikshuna, someone who looks like a complete beggar, shriyahinena, he's without any money, without any wealth, garhitena adhamena cha, and he looks as if he is the most fallen from a downtrodden condition. But in spite of this, Shriyapati, the husband of the goddess of fortune, Krishna, is worshipping him, serving him. How is this possible? It is astonishing. So as far as punya is concerned, there are different types of punyas. So one is the punya which is acquired by performing mundane activities. And another type of punya is that which is acquired by performing spiritual activities. So only by acquiring and accumulating spiritual punya, one comes in contact with Krishna and actually becomes a devotee of Krishna. And someone is worshipping Krishna and is being worshipped by Krishna so closely, one cannot imagine what type of spiritual punya he must be having. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, anyone who has come into this movement and come in contact with Krishna, we must know, has definitely acquired spiritual credits in his previous life, and therefore he could come in contact and practice this process so wonderfully. And he says that our responsibility in preaching is to present this philosophy and make sure that somehow the spiritual credits of the conditioned soul increase. So gradually, if we increase the spiritual credits, they will become more and more devotee. And even though we may not be able to explain the whole philosophy at one shot, little by little, as their credits increase, as their spiritual credits increase, their appreciation for this process will increase. That is the responsibility of a preacher. It is not that a preacher has to have the satisfaction of seeing someone becoming devotee in front of his eyes. And that is sometimes our conditioning. We feel, if I preach to him, I should see him chanting 16 rounds in front of me within the next few days. If that does not happen, my preaching is a waste. And therefore we catch hold of a person and start bombarding him, start pounding him. And whatever we know in Krishna consciousness, we start downloading upon him. And 3-4 hours we make him sit and hear. And sometimes the person becomes so burnt out that, my God, why is he giving such a heavy dose at one shot? That next time he sees a Hare Krishna from a distance, he just runs away. That if I go near him means 5 hours are gone. So therefore, from our side, preaching doesn't mean just going on bombarding, but somehow increase that punya little bit. Means make him appreciate a devotee in some way, in some form, and then he will get transformed. Just like there was one person who was inimical to the ISKCON Mayapur. He was not giving the piece of land to devotees. And so we had to have court case. And the court case went on for 8 years. And then at the end of 8 years, finally we lost the case, and that man won the case, and he didn't give that land to us. But then, because of interacting during the court case, the devotees, whenever they would come in court, would always give him prasad and would always speak to him nicely. And even after winning the court case, the devotees lost the case, still they were good to him. And just because of that, he started thinking that these fellows, they could have become inimical, could have been, you know, angry with me, all kinds of things, but they have always only given me prasad. And therefore, after winning the case, after 2 years, he came to the devotees and said, I want to donate this land to you. And the devotee said, if 8 years back you had done it, we would have, you know, saved on lawyer's fees. We spent so much of money, but at least now, because of developing good relationships and making him increase his piety, spiritual punya, his heart was getting transformed. So therefore, this punya from within gets accumulated as a result of coming in contact with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Like one of Prabhupada's servants writes that when Prabhupada was traveling on a flight, so he just took out his tiffin and they were serving Srila Prabhupada some puffed rice. And this air hostess was passing by and she was intrigued to see this puffed rice because it is not so commonly seen. And as soon as she saw puffed rice on Prabhupada's plate, she immediately put her hand as Prabhupada was eating and took that and said, "Hey, what is this?" and immediately put it in her mouth. And the devotees were aghast. Said, "We also take Mahaprasad, but not like this." Not when Prabhupada is eating. So, as soon as she tasted those remnants of Prabhupada, she said, "Is there anything I can do for your guru?" And they said, "Yes, I mean, we would have liked some milk and some fruits." And she said, "I'll immediately get." And she went and came back and said, "I couldn't get this in economy class. I went to business class and I got this specially for him. Hot milk and fruits." So the devotee's realization was as soon as she came in contact with the Mahaprasad, Bhakta Pada Dulya Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avashesh Eitin Mahabal, some contact with devotee or devotee's remnants, devotee's service, immediately the desire to render service develops. So naturally, when we see someone reciprocating with Krishna intimately, it is obvious that he has developed various kinds of punya in the past. And therefore Kali Yuga is a very fallen yuga, because in this yuga there is hardly any punya. And it is very difficult to acquire spiritual punya. Very easy to develop sinful habits in Kali Yuga, but very, very difficult to acquire spiritual punya. Because wherever we go, we only see influence of Kali Yuga. Everywhere we see all kinds of sinful activities going on. Just like I tell this story, you know, sometimes in preaching programs in city, that there was this man who was about to die, and as he was about to die, Yamdutas came and they said that the peculiar kind of karma you have, we can either take you to heaven or take you to hell. Both places you have to go. Tell us where you want to go first. He said, "What is heaven? What is hell? I don't know. You have to show me." So they said, "Okay, we'll show you." And they give him a glimpse of heaven. Said, "Nice, beautiful gardens, lakes, and you know, everything nice." So he said, "Okay, this is fine. Okay, show me hell." So they showed him a glimpse of hell, and they showed butcher shop, prostitute house, they showed a bar, people were drinking and smoking, and they showed a gambling casino. And this fellow said, "Hey, this looks like Bombay only. So I would like to go there." So immediately he was taken to hell. And as soon as he was taken to hell, the Yamdutas caught hold of him, started stripping his skin away, started burning him, torturing him, tormenting him, and he protested, "Hey, you showed me something, but this is not like that. Call Yamraj." And Yamraj came in, "Why are you screaming?" He said, "Your Yamdutas cheated me. They showed me, you know, bar, they showed me casino, this, that, saying that is hell, and now they are doing this to me. What is this? What was that then?" And Yamraj said, "That was our advertisement for hell." And that is what Kali Yuga is all about. That whatever you see everywhere is simply an advertisement that please come and you will be taken to hellish planets. And therefore it is practically impossible in this age of Kali to counteract sinful influences. What to speak of punya sanchaya, there is every chance of accumulating sins. So in Mahabharata there is a story that one resident came to Hastinapur to meet the Pandavas. And Bhima was there outside. And he was a farmer. He said, "I have got one question. I saw something very intriguing. I can't understand why it happened." He said, "What is it?" He said, "I saw that the fence, you know, I have my fence all around my farm. And this fence was eating the crops of my neighbor." Can you explain why this was happening? And Bhima got bewildered. He said, what? Fence was eating the crop of the neighbor? I mean, I don't know answer for such kind of questions. You go inside, Yudhishthir Maharaj is there. Another person came. He said, Bhima, I have one more question for you. He said, what is that? And he said, I just saw one man, he was just pouring in, you know, water from a pot. He took water from a bucket, poured it in different smaller pots, and after he had distributed that water in the pots, took the water from those pots and poured it back in the bucket. But this time, that bucket only filled half. So can you tell me why? Bhima said, "Arey, don't keep asking these kind of questions. Go inside." Third fellow came and said, Bhima, I saw another very intriguing thing. I saw one elephant was passing through the eye of a needle. And the whole body of that elephant passed through the eye of the needle, but then the tail got stuck. And Bhima said, come on, today is a bad day for me. All kinds of crazy guys are coming. And said, I can't deal with these kind of questions. You can tell me this demon is troubling me, this demon is, what should we do, and then I can help. But these kind of questions, Yudhishthir Maharaj. And fourth fellow came and said, I was walking on the road and I saw that there was a big, huge stone on the road. And nobody could move that stone. And then one sadhu came and then he took out a piece of thread from his chadar and he waved it like this and the stone moved. Can you tell me why? And Bhima said, you go in and ask why. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked these questions and Yudhishthir Maharaj said, all of these four, they are symbols and symptoms of Kali Yuga. This shows that Kali Yuga is beginning. So how is that? First of all, the nature of Kali Yuga means people are not satisfied with what they have. They are always eager to destroy and capture and usurp what others are having. That is a symptom of Kali Yuga, greed and envy. Therefore, that fence you saw was eating the neighbor's crop is typical of Kali Yuga. That nobody sees what he has, but he is only seeing what he has, what the other person has. And therefore, one is more concerned with that. Just like even like in Vrindavan and other places, we do this prasadam distribution for thousands of devotees. And many times I have this experience that I'm distributing prasad, and rather than seeing what is fallen on the plate, people are more concerned with what other person has got so far. And they keep telling me, hey, I didn't get that, get me that. And sometimes if you're distributing to thousands of devotees, it's not possible to bring all the items. But the whole time he's only concerned, I didn't get that. And sometimes they keep looking in the back row also to see what other people have got in that row. And therefore the whole concentration on what you have is not there. And this is typical in Kali Yuga. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, this is the first symptom. The second symptom is that the water from the bucket was distributed in the pots. And you took all the water from the pots and put it back in the bucket. It filled only half. The second symptom of Kali Yuga is, Kali Yuga is filled with ungrateful people. That you try to give something to someone, pour out your energy to take care of others, but you should know there will not be equal reciprocation. Do not expect reciprocation to the same extent from others, whether it is family members or people you are taking care of spiritually or in your company or in whatever way. Do not expect the dependence to reciprocate and be grateful to the same extent, because this is Kali Yuga. You gave up everything, but what came back was only half. And the third symptom is, you saw a whole elephant passing through. So in Kali Yuga, people don't mind spending for marriages. They will spend millions and millions for marriage, for social gatherings, for this party, for that party, getting all of these facilities. But then you tell them that Janmashtami is coming, please give us little donation. Whole elephant will pass, but then when you say Janmashtami, give something for Krishna, tail will get stuck. Elephant will pass, but the tail will get stuck. So as far as giving something for Krishna is concerned in any way, time or energy, they say no time, no energy, no money for Krishna. But for other activities of sense gratification, whole elephant is available. But for spiritual activity, very difficult. Oh my God, we have to come and attend this program in the temple. 1 hour, my God, 1 hour, how can we spend? We have to chant every day, 1.5 hours, how can we do that? And therefore the only solution, he says, in Kali Yuga, is that a sadhu comes and waves his mercy. And the thread is the power of the holy name. Simply by the power of the holy name, all the obstacles are destroyed. And then only the clear path to the spiritual world is revealed. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this day and age, has given us that process by which we can acquire these spiritual credits, these punyas, which otherwise in Kali Yuga is practically impossible. So by seeing this intimate reciprocation of Sudama and Krishna, the residents of Dwarka understand that kim anena kritam punyam. He has to be very punyavan. Only then there can be such intimate reciprocation with Krishna. Therefore, anyone who is connected to the Krishna consciousness movement, we should know, has performed punya. And therefore, we should be always respectful and not critical and not be offensive to other devotees, understanding that each one has a certain relationship and reciprocation with Krishna, and Krishna is inviting them into his inner circle so that they can engage in his service. And therefore, we should be very, very careful while dealing with devotees and always make sure that we are respectful and trying to be in the mood of humble servant to other devotees. And just by seeing Krishna's reciprocation with Sudama, the other residents of the palace did not feel envious. They were not critical, but they respected Sudama, knowing that if Krishna is dealing like this with him, he must be very, very special. Although externally he looked absolutely pathetic. Therefore, one must not go by anyone's externals, but one must know that anyone has the capacity to reciprocate with Krishna if he has that spiritual piety. Now at this stage, Sudama himself may be thinking, after seeing Krishna's reciprocation, Vishwanathachara Thakur writes, that Krishna is respecting me so much, worshipping me so much, does he exactly know who I am? Or is it a case of mistaken identity? Even, you know, if you are not expecting a major reception from someone or somewhere, and suddenly you go there and immediately you are offered red carpet, you are offered worship, you are brought all kinds of opulent food, you are given the most special guest room and this and that, and you only start wondering, hey, I hope they are not expecting some so-and-so Maharaj and they are thinking, I am that Maharaj, and why they are doing like this to me? You know, you go to some place and it happens in some places, and sometimes in, especially in guest house booking, it happens. Someone is expecting someone in a guest house room, and you go there and they think you are the one. Oh, we have been waiting for you, please come here, and all kinds of things are offered, and then, oh, I'm sorry, that Maharaj has now come and he's supposed to be in this room. So Sudama is thinking, such a big reception has been given. Does Krishna actually know I am that same Sudama, his friend from before, or he is thinking some other person has come? And in order to clarify this, then Krishna understands, and then Krishna starts speaking to Sudama and starts recounting times they have spent together in their guru's ashram, in Sandipani Muni's ashram at what is known as Avanti. And by this, Krishna is proving that don't think it is a case of mistaken identity. I know very well who you are. I know you are Sudama. You are my friend, and we have spent time together before. And then Krishna goes on into great detail, explaining their exchanges and reciprocations. And that we will discuss today. in the evening. And in this, Krishna also reveals various important instructions regarding the importance of serving Guru, worshipping Guru, and being together in the mission of Guru. And this is a very, very interesting and important conversation topic with many powerful philosophical points, and that we will discuss in the evening. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.